Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
And think about it, the regrets of living life safe. And that's where America's been. America's been living life safe in the last 60 years, probably, in the 50s, mm-hmm. is when everybody really started focusing on, just getting your house and your
white picket fence,
your job, white picket fence, your wife and your three or four kids, and you go to your job, you come home, you go to your job, and you come home. But it's gotten, and the thing about the 50s and the 60s, or pretty much the 50s, is people who didn't know God then feared God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Today, people who say they know Him don't fear Him. And, you know, it's just amazing that the times and the seasons that have changed, and it's become about, you know, the job and the career and the property, and they have, you know, the programs, and I see these programs on television where they show next house after the next house after the next house, the next house, the next house. And it's like, what does the world really think of Americans?
Yeah.
You know, the
right.
ones that are, and obviously they're probably not getting that channel, but you're just thinking, my goodness, how embarrassing we're paying. Mm-hmm. You know, $4 million for the next one because this one didn't have the right color for us or something. And this is amazing. But think about it. You know, the regret of living life safe. As believers, we're called to live by faith. Faith is what you're, it's being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's about living in the now. Now faith is. That's what we're called to do. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. You know, we're called to take risks in the cultures that we live in, to speak in a way in the culture that we live in that's very risky because it's against the culture normally of what's going on as we begin to share the things of God. We're called to give so that we have. You know, we're called to make God known in all the earth through His Son, Jesus Christ. We're risking persecution, pain, loss of things and stuff and freedom. But listen, there's no, who's risking that? Who's stepping out? Who's stepping out in the church? Christians. I'm talking about Christians here. We know some ones that are stepping out that aren't Christians. Like, my goodness, if the Christians could step out like that.
That's right.
You know, are we willing? And that's what we're called to do. It's not like some optional thing. And you're living your life for regret if you're not. Because you're going to stand alone before God and the throne of God, the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to say, what did you do with your life? Well, I've gathered things and stuff. And I didn't respond to the orphan. I didn't respond to the homeless. I didn't respond to the lost people that I could have told them about you. And we're going to be held accountable for that. Think about it. 97, the Christians in America, for example, according to George Barna, you know, we're not willing to be inconvenienced even with our own children because statistically that the reason why abortions happen is because that child's going to cost me to work harder. It's going to, you know, we already have enough kids and the inconvenience of self or what people will think of me or all those different things that happen. It's statistically, it's not just the world getting abortions. And now you're seeing the numbers come down for the actual doctor abortion. But if you back up a little bit and look at the day after pill or Plan B pill, the numbers are skyrocketed.
Yeah.
The numbers are skyrocketed. And the selfish aspect of it is, and then 97% of the regular church attenders, according to George Bonner, are robbing from God. Because not willing to take a risk to trust God to give Him. He gives us everything, and you can't honor Him with His tithes and offerings out of that. It's like we're not in the, you know, we're called living life safe will not end well at the throne of God because we're called to trust God, not trust ourselves and trust what we do. Even though God blesses the work of our hands and He doesn't mind us having things as long as things don't have us. But listen, if those things have us and God doesn't have us, it's not going to be well. Mm-hmm. He's concerned about the orphan. He's concerned about the child in sex trade. He's concerned about the poor and the hungry and the homeless. He's concerned about that person that you have not even yet witnessed to and told them about this God that you profess to know. He wants them to know. He loves them. He loves mankind. He died for all mankind. And we're going to have to answer for that. You know, versus, you know, we're called to live by faith, not by sight. Jesus said, they'll hate you. They hated me, they'll hate you. And that's a risk. A lot of people aren't willing to take that risk to not be liked by people as they stand up for God. or being made to look foolish, you know? And think about it. Paul talked about of I'm always last of the procession of faith, basically where the dung of the animals that are in the parade are left behind. I'm locked up in prison, falsely accused. Everybody, including Jesus, who stood up for God, were treated poorly in this world and lost things and lost reputation and all these different things. And so we're called to be risk takers. The day that we're in right now, and the thing about it is we're in a culture that says that's okay. But God says, no, without faith, it's impossible to please him. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to step out. It's more than believing God for a better car.
Right.
It's more than, you know, believing God for your next house payment. It's about believing God for human beings, people that are lost, that don't know him, and you telling them about him. It's about you loving people and stepping out at your workplace and everywhere you are in your life for God, not being ashamed of him before men so he won't be ashamed of you before the Father. Listen, it's time to be a risk taker. It is this thing about living a safe life, and what you're seeing is 401ks crashed, and they're about to crash again because all these people who lived their life and didn't say, yeah, I got it all figured out, I'm going to work my days, and I'm going to retire, and I got my pension. You know, I think it's like 47 states, according to Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries, has pensions due now that they don't have any money to pay them. Mm. And it's all coming to a head. It's all coming to a head. And the only thing that's coming to a head is the decision that you failed to make early on in your life, you need to make it now, which is making Jesus the Lord of your life,
right?
Not your pension, not your retirement. Understand that just like, you know, the Lord told you, Pat, that enjoy it for a season because nothing's secure.
Right.
You know, it comes and it goes. And we're called to be risk takers. You're called to say, you know, God may speak to you and say, listen, go to China. He may tell you, you know, go to another city and begin to plant a church. He may call you to begin to just shake your own city that you're at. But quite often, he's calling you to a different city because even Jesus in his home city, it was real difficult for him to minister in his home city in Nazareth. And he's Jesus.
Right.
The best thing to do is just ignore Nazareth and keep on ministering.
And move on.
And move on. Yeah. But understanding that, that's who we're called to be. We're called to be risk takers. And there's the regret of living a safe life is dread at the throne room of God.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you have to seize, you know, as Steve Hill said, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized during the lifetime of the opportunity. And this is the opportunity that we have while we're still alive, while we still have a chance to. We need to not live a safe life, but be willing to do everything that we can do. You know, regret is a horrible thing because when it's all said and done, you don't want to live like, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's over. It's done with. And we can learn from that. We can say, listen, you know what? I don't want to have those regrets on the back end. I want to do all that I can in the strength that I have for God because I'm going to see him one day, and I want to have something to offer him. I want my life to count. I want my life to make a difference. You only have one. You only have one life.
Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?
That's right.
That's what it's going to boil down to. Yeah, did my son die for that?
Yeah,
for a pension plan, for a larger house.
Mm-hmm.
Man, what was it? What was the thing that he died for? And that's where we are right now. It's going to require men and women to rise up. You think about this pastor right now that's in jail for planting churches in Iran who are meeting in houses, like a network there, that he's in jail facing a life sentence. I mean, how beautiful is his reward for being willing to go into Iran?
Right.
That they consider you get a death penalty for preaching Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And but the thing is, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. What are we doing for God?
Right.
How is our life a sweet fragrance to God?
Right.
And fragrances come by denying ourselves, picking up our cross and following the Lord. He says, you know, in view of God's mercy, offer your body, your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Think about that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to say, here's my body, Lord. Use me as you will. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do. Here we are.
Right.
But that's not that way. I mean, right now, it's not that way. So many things, other things are being taught right now. And they're false teachings. If it doesn't line up with, this is what a false teaching is. That might not make sense to you when you hear that. If Jesus says left in his word and somebody's preaching right,
mm-hmm.
or if Jesus says yes in his word and somebody else is saying, well, it used to be yes, but now it's no.
Yeah.
Because things are changing. That's a false teaching. It's just the word of God is in its original form is without error.
Yeah.
Without error. And it's powerful, it's living, it's active than a sharper than a double edged sword. And the world cannot shake it because it's so powerful because God is with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're talking about when we talk about that. So this is the day to really just shake ourselves because deception, the word deceived means what we think we're doing is right when we're wrong. Uh-huh. And so deception is just blanketing America right now. And deception is just in the church. You see people just deceived and saying, you know, everything's okay, everything's fine, when everything they're doing and everything that they're saying and how they're living is totally different than what God would say and expect.
Yeah. Well, God allowed us to be born for his purposes, not for our own. The Bible says that he knit us in our mother's womb. And so it's not so that we can acquire more and more and more, but it's to say, God, you know, you created me for a purpose. What do you want me to do with this one life? I only have one.
Right.
And we have that chance to do something.
And it's like we're saying that when you're 10 years old, if your life's moving slow,
Mm-hmm.
The M will never get you like 10 miles an hour. You're 10 years old. Is
Are we there yet?
Are you there yet? Right, right.
Yeah.
I remember looking at the clock in school going, that's the slowest moving second hand I've ever seen in my life. Then, you know, you're 25 years old, and now your life is moving at 25 miles an hour towards the end of your life.
Right.
And then you reach 40 years old, now you're driving at 40 miles an hour, and you realize, listen, this thing's going to end, and, mm-hmm. and how am I going to answer for this? How am I going to answer for this? And you look at, even, I don't want to speak, you know, we have a lot of time about it, but if even the elderly in our own nation, in our church, you know, what are you living passionately for God? Are you setting the example for those that are coming after you? Most all are living for ourselves. We've got to say, you know what, we've got to begin. We're going to have to answer for this
mm-hmm.
because at 50, that's 50 miles an hour. Think about it.
Yeah.
It's ending and we're going to answer for it. I want to encourage you. So many resources available at VFNTV.com on the VFN Torch and also VineFellowshipNetwork.org. Maybe that's for you.
You may be hearing some people saying that, you know, if God hates someone,
mm-hmm.
wait a minute. God doesn't hate anybody.
Right.
That is just some wrong, warped thinking. God loves everyone. So you're going to hear him. And who does God love? You're going to hear about he loves mankind.
Mm-hmm.
There is no one that God does not love.
Right.
And we're going to go, you know, more in depth into this, but you're going to be encouraged and it's going to help you to relate to others and get a fresh perspective and not fall into the temptation to judge or put labels on people, but to recognize that, hey, if they're made, you know, every human being is made in the image of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they may not be loving God,
right?
But that never changes God's love towards man.
I know.
Which is beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, beautiful. Thank God, right?
I know, right?
Because there was a time in my life when I didn't always love God. Sad to say.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, oh, it'll be you. See, Chris, there he goes again. See, there he goes. But isn't that amazing? It's like, you know, oftentimes people you hear say, well, you know, I love God. Well, really? You know, we need to investigate on it. We need to talk about that more, mm-hmm. you know, because we need to define what love is, you know.
Right.
You know, loving God is honoring God and making him the Lord of our life. You know, Isaiah says that they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And God's not into lip service. He's not into pretty words, right? But he's into action. You know,
mm-hmm.
he's into our love being displayed. His love was displayed. It was displayed on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
You know, love demonstrates.
Absolutely.
And if we say we love God, then we'll begin to obey God. And so he loves us unconditionally, but we need to love him back.
All right.
You know, he loved us even at our most worst state. So when we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unlovable, think about it. Chris, Pat, when you were unlovable, I mean, I know it's hard to, I know your listeners, it's hard to believe,
mm-hmm.
but these guys at one time, maybe to others, never to me, of course, right?
Right.
But to others, they were they could have been seen as unlovable. But yet, but God, right?
But God. Mm-hmm. Thank but goodness.
God. Chris is like, amen. I ain't saying nothing.
That's right.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
I used to run away from it.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many are running away from the love of God.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
But, you know, how, you know, his love will overtake you. The Bible says that it's his kindness and his goodness that causes us to turn back to him. You know, and if I said it this once, I said it 1,000 times. I'm like, I'm not in a place. I'm just not in a place where I can turn down that type of love.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, I need the love of God. That's I right. need the grace of God. I yeah. need the mercy and the forgiveness. I need it all every day. And he richly supplies that to us. Mm-hmm. And so it's if you haven't made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you that there's never been a better time than today.
Absolutely.
You know, today is the day of salvation. You know, you've tried and maybe you've thought about it and maybe you've, you know, someone turned you on to the radio program and you just kind of tuned in. Let me tell you something. God loves you. Mm-hmm. God has a plan for your life, that the way you walk and talk and breathe and look and act and the things that make you, you, God's designed you for a purpose. The Bible says that he knit you in your mother's womb.
That's right.
He loves you with an everlasting love, you know, and he wants to have a relationship with you. He desires for you to have a relationship with him.
That's right.
The Bible is his love letter to you. And that's how we begin to walk out a relationship and communing and talking with God, which is simply prayer. But he's not after what you can do for him. He's not after you so that you can just, you know, attend a service or something and be, right. you know, go to a location, a mm-hmm. building. You know, it's,
right.
that's not what he's after. Your heart. He's after your heart. I remember when I first heard that, you know, Pat Chris, I'm like, God, really?
You want this?
Exactly.
Are you sure, God?
You know, surely this is a mistake.
Yeah.
You know, my perception, and I don't know what, you know, my perception was that maybe God was up there with the big old ruler and just looking to get me in trouble for every single time that I did something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, if you listen today, that's not God. That was a stinking thinking that I had. I had a wrong perception. And what you believe about God is going to determine what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And because I believe that, it caused me to maybe stay away from hearing the truth that I needed to hear. But when I heard that this loving God was willing to forgive me of all my sins, forgive me of everything that I've ever could have done, and that I could start afresh and start anew, that he'll separate my sins as far as the east is from the west, and he can purify me.
That's right.
And he loves me unconditionally. I'm like, wait a minute. This is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And he just melted my heart. And I want to encourage you today. You know, some of us have written our stories of how we found God and our, you know, you can go to meetmyfather.org and you can hear more about that. But if you want to take this step of faith, if you want to leap into the arms of God, you're going to find that he's right there waiting for you. He's been waiting for you to turn to him because his eye has been upon you. Right. And once you make eye contact with him, once you turn your gaze towards him, you're going to find that everything's going to work out. You're going to find that your life is going to have a new sense of meaning. You're going to find out what true love really is all about.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that if any man be in Christ, old things pass away, and behold, all things become new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sure this was your experience. You know, my experience was that I don't even know who that guy used to be.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to know him anymore.
Yeah, tell me about it. And I know you have been transformed, Patty.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, isn't that good?
Definitely. Definitely.
Isn't that good?
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that set me free from that mindset that you're talking about, that that God can't love me, is, you know, I heard at one point that, you know, God doesn't look at us as we look at us.
Mm-hmm.
God looks at us as he created us to be.
Wow.
You know, he knit you in your mother's womb. You know, he knew you before the creation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And that statement there just, you know, is very freeing, that God doesn't look at me in the state that I am in now.
Right.
He sees me as he created me to be.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That's just a very freeing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It is. It's very freeing. It's very freeing, because if all you've been is in a place of desperation, you know, you're trying to do it without God. Mm-hmm. I mean, life, you know, life doesn't go well without God. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't go well.
Right.
You look at the broken relationships. Mm-hmm. You look, I mean, if, you know, there was a survey done, and I can't give you any statistics here for it, but I read this survey once. It said that the person's main goal in life, that one of the people's main goal is to be happy. Mm. I just want to be happy. Mm. You know? And okay, you know, the thing with just being happy is how we try to pursue happiness. Mm-hmm. You know, because happiness is just something that happens, mm-hmm. but true joy comes from the Lord.
That's right.
And so oftentimes, you know, people get on a treadmill that don't know God. I mean, I was on it. Mm-hmm. You know, you think maybe a relationship's going to make you happy. So you mm-hmm. get into a relationship mm-hmm. and you find out that, you know what, that person is not God and right. you're not God for that person. Mm-mm. But you look at relationships, and without a relationship with God, people fall into temptation of treating each other like gods mm-hmm. and thinking that this one person, this one soulmate is going to do this thing for them. Mm-hmm. That's going to make everything just happy, happy, mm-hmm. happy, happy.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we'll just have a baby. If we have a baby,
that'll
we're just going to
fix everything.
So happy. Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just beginning.
It's just beginning. See, I don't know. Is it the crying? Is it the diaper changing? I don't know what part of all, you know.
Right,
granted,
right.
you know, we've got children. I love my children, oh, you yeah. know, but as the source, talk about the source, mm-hmm. the source of your happiness. Mm-hmm. That ain't gonna cut it.
That's right.
So, you know, I'm gonna get a job. You know, I'm gonna study. I'm gonna get an education, because education is so important. Listen, I'm not knocking education. Got one. Mm-hmm. I don't know how good it is, but I got one. You know, but I'll just get an education, because that's I'm going to be happy in life. You got education. You got a good job with benefits. And a 401k and all this. And, you know, then I'm going to be happy, because then, you know, I'm going to feel good about myself and all that. You know, well, what happens when you don't have your job?
That's right. What happens then?
Yeah. I mean, what if happiness is determined by a job, then that means that when the job or the thing or whatever it is, that the idol that we place before God is taken down.
That's right.
Then that means...
You're not happy anymore. Yeah. That's right.
I mean, think about it. Yeah. So we trade jobs, we trade, you know, and the thing about it is it becomes just a narcissistic, it becomes a self-focused thing where things, people, and items all revolve around the person that make them happy. Mm-hmm. Because that's my number one goal. If I don't go and be happy, then I need all these things, I need all these people. You know, if I go shopping and I get the latest, it's amazing. You know, it's like, you buy that one thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the greatest thing in the world.
Oh, yeah. You're just ecstatic. Can't wait to go home and open it up, right?
You go home, you open it up, you unbox it.
Yeah.
Have you seen this video on YouTube where people would like, they unbox
their stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, breathtaking. Let's see what it looks like. The new iPhone, whatever it is, the unboxing video of. Mm-hmm. But they're so excited. And that lasts for what?
A week?
You know, the new car is like, oh, I just got the new car.
Yep.
And the new smell wears off.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as a kid just spills, the new baby spills something in it.
And right,
like,
oh, right.
We got to wipe that up.
It's over.
You
get a scratch on it.
Exactly. First scratch, first day.
Run over a dog.
Oh, yeah.
Who would have done that here?
I don't know.
No comments.
I'm not saying any names.
No suspects. Let's keep it moving. But you think about it, it's like, wow. That's important here that we take note of that, because none of these things can truly make a thing can add happiness in its proper context, in its proper place, you know. And God doesn't even promise us happiness, mm-hmm. you know. We're a byproduct of having a relationship with God, is that we're going to, you know, you're going to sense the joy of the Lord. God's got you have hope. Mm-hmm. But you know, I understand. I have a great compassion for a lot of people right now that don't know God. And you're searching, you're looking, and you know, and you, maybe you're coming back, or maybe you knew God once, and now you're you know, you got turned on to VFN radio, and listen, I have great compassion because I was there.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the treadmill. I tried to do everything that they said to do.
Oh, yeah.
To be happy. I didn't did it all.
That's right. Yeah.
And the worst thing about it is that I still wasn't happy. You know, it's just, it wasn't the amount of money. It wasn't in the relationships. It wasn't in the jobs and the positions and the toys and the stuff and the vacations. It's like, you know, you can't go from vacation to vacation to vacation. To, right. It's like, there's got to be more to life than this.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, thinking about that, I remember, you know, being in my parents' home one day years and years ago when I first came to God. And I started thinking, there's got to be more to life than this.
Yeah.
I mean, there's got to be more to life than this. It's like,
yeah.
Hello. I mean, I'm wondering, I was in college at the time. Will I ever graduate? Will I ever get a job? You know what I'm saying? Will I ever have kids or just what? You know, you have all these questions, all these what ifs.
Mm-hmm.
And I just started fast forwarding through my life. It's just like, I don't know. It's just started seeing these things. It was in a daydream maybe. And just started imagining, you know, is this it? Is this it? You ask most people today, why do you work? Well, I got bills. You know, it's like, is this it? Work to pay bills and have 2 weeks vacation? Is this it? Maybe get married. But, you know, 50% of all marriages ending in divorce today, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe have a couple of kids and all that newness will wear off. And is this it? Is this it? And you're looking at a generation now that's graduating that doesn't even know if they're even going to do as good as their parents' generation. I mean, typically you want your children to do better than the previous generation. Well, you have a generation that's graduating from college with such uncertainty, and we've lifted all these other things, whether it be money, relationships, you know, status, all this other stuff is more important than having a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Right.
I'd say the greatest thing that you could ever do in your life, the greatest thing you could ever, ever do in your life, the greatest decision you could ever make in your life. They say that the three most important decisions, Pat, that you, Christian, you ever make in your life all start with a C. What you're going to do for your career.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to be your companion.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. No,
that's right?
Yep.
And your decision or your indecision to choose Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Maybe you've been working it backwards. Maybe, you know, you started out with the career, you started out with the companion and all this type of stuff. Or let me tell you, if Jesus Christ is not at the center of your heart and your life, you're missing.
That's right.
And you can turn back to him. Listen, there's nothing that you could have done. There's nothing that you have done in your life where God's going to reject you. We're talking about, who does God love? I mean, God loves you. He loves you. He's died for you, and he has a plan for your life. You can make that decision to turn your heart, give your heart to him. Or maybe if you've known him, maybe your relationship has just grown cold.
Yep.
Let me tell you, you can stoke a relationship now. You just turn back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't been abiding, I want to encourage you. You can go to iabide.org. I like the... You see an iPad or iPod, the letter I, and the word abide, abide.org.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a simple plan. There's a simple plan that you can get. It's free. It doesn't cost you a thing. Nothing but your time.
Mm-hmm.
And you can download this plan. It gives you a simple plan on how you can abide, how you can spend time with God, how you can begin to walk out this relationship. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you today that God loves you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
When you see a child really dressed up, sometimes that's a reflection of a very determined mom. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's former Mrs. United States, Sherry Rose Shepherd.
Now, my daughter wears a great big bow. Now, people ask me, how do you get your daughter to keep that bow on her head? I said, look at me. I am 42 and the mother of a toddler. I have not slept in 18 months. She only nursed on the left side. She will wear the bow.
Sometimes you've just got to do what you've got to do to survive. And you'll find more trusted parenting advice and some great humor from Sherry Rose Shepherd today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have a entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you can't, you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us and we together at VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to VFNTV.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I just want to encourage you to begin, as we're going to begin to unfold some things that you know, God's been laying on our hearts, to encourage you. It's time to step out on the water. And remember, one particular disciple, the storm was happening, right? Storm was raging. The disciples were in a boat, and they were waiting for Jesus to catch up with them, and he did not have an airplane or anything like that to catch up with them.
All right.
And he said, just go on ahead. I'll get you. And this big, huge storm was taking place in the Galilee. And, of course, they're, like, rocking and rolling in the storms and the winds blowing, all this kind of stuff. And then they see Jesus walking on top of the water. Mm. He's walking on top of the water, not even bothered by the storm. Mm-hmm. And then he looks at the people that were in the building. He said, I'm at the boat. He said, listen. He said, step out. And he just called them forth. This is what happened. You know, Peter looked out there and saw Jesus in the storm. And you're going to have to look for him. You have to look for him, and you abide with him, spend time with him. You may find out, just like Peter did when he called out to him and said, this is you, Jesus. This is most of our prayers are like. This is you, Jesus. Stop the storm.
Right?
That's what we would say. This is you, Jesus. Stop the storm. But Peter just said, in the middle of the storm, while Jesus was walking on top of it, just like the three guys we talked about earlier, that they were willing to go into the fire. Jesus is in the trouble, by the way. So Jesus is walking on the water. He says, if that's you, Jesus, he didn't say stop the storm. He said, call me out to walk on the water to come to you. We'd say, Jesus, come to me right here in my convenience and come to where me. I have my job and everything, you know, where I have all my 401k and where, you know, everything's great. And he says, no, if it's you, King James bid me to come unto you, right? Like, call me out there. This is you. I mean, Peter was just, you know, amazing. And so he says, well, come. Think about it. He just said, come. And that's what the Lord's saying to you. If you're listening right now, this is what the Lord's saying to you. He's saying, you know, seek me. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. We call it abiding with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. Just learning how to talk to him and make sure you find him and not religion. And then ask this, Lord, if that's really you walking down the streets of Chorazin, if that's really you outside the temple, if that's really you going into these dark places and saving, you know, a multitudes and saving the prostitute, if that's really you that's raising that man from the dead, if that's really you that's walking in the midst of the storm, even though the storm is here, you know, call me out, you know, allow me to come out there with you. Mm-hmm. Notice he wasn't in the building. I mean, he wasn't in the boat. He was out on the storm. And everybody else stayed in the boat. Everybody stayed in the boat. Oh, my goodness. Stayed in the building boat. But Peter stepped out. Now, listen, let me tell you something. Yes, he was walking on the water. There was something inside of Peter that he didn't even know about that God was able to call on when Peter had the faith to see and recognize God in the storm. Mm. And Jesus tapped into what Peter didn't even know he had, which is the ability to walk upon the waters of a storm. Prior to that, all of his reasonings was, and it's all he had, the only grid he had was, when you go over the water, you ride in boats or you swim. But he found out what was inside of him, the power of God that was inside of him that calls him forth, can empower him to walk on top of the water. Mm. Think about it. And if you got to be willing to step out of the boat. You got to be able to find Jesus in the storm. He's the fourth man in the fire, which means you have to be in the fire to be able to have a moment. Anyway, so understand that, and then to say, you know what, Jesus, that's you. Bid me to come out of this building. No. Listen, if that's not, you know, stay in. More of them stayed in the boat than got out. So I'm not saying, you know, but I'm just saying, listen, think about it. When he said that, Jesus called unto him, and he came out, and he stepped out of what he's used to being in that contained him, and the whole world was used. You got to have boats. You got to have boats. Everybody's in boats. But then, because of Jesus and because of seeing him in the storm, because of believing that God could empower him to walk on the water, just like Jesus was walking on the water, because he says, not only can you do what I've done, but you can do greater things than these. And so he calls him out. When he calls him out, he begins to walk on the water. I mean, get this, he's walking on the water. Now, granted, you know, Pat and I float on the water because we have a lot of float content. In our, well, Chris and I float. These guys sink. They're straight muscle mass, you know, straight to the bottom. But
I know he sinks to the bottom.
You know, bid me to float in the water with you, Jesus. Make me sink. That's what I was like. Make me sink. That's God, man, because I float. Anyway, so listen. And so what was inside of him, and we talk about the storm and all the things going on. This is the greatest day the church is ever going to see. It's going to be the greatest day, not for those who stay in the boat per se, But those who are willing to get out of the boat and say, you know what, let's do this thing. I think about that flight. What was it, flight
93.
Flight 93. And you, all these planes are crashing into the Twin Towers or crashing into the Pentagon. And these guys, through a little bit of communication, they knew that their plane was hijacked. Mm-hmm. They knew it was hijacked. They knew that the storm was coming, and they knew the probability of them living beyond what they presently were if they don't change things. That they have to do something. They have to take down this pilot. So there's two things going on. One is possibly we can save ourselves, but definitely we can save others. Mm. And they could hear the wife could hear them saying this once he clarified what's going on. They got together in unity for one purpose, to be able to save people. And you heard them on the recording on the phone say, "Let's roll."
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And next thing we know, you hear screaming, you hear hollering. They busted through the cockpit, and they went in there and took over. And they stopped that jet, that airliner, from crashing and killing more people. But yes, they gave their lives to save others. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. Listen, this day is calling for those who are willing to lay down their life because we love God and we love others and we want people to be able to make it. We're willing to look into the depths of the storm and step outside of that which was originally holding us to be able to be used by God to be able to win others and save others. And this is that day. This is that day. What's inside of you? I'm just by God's grace and just right now, I'm calling it out of you. I'm just calling you out. I'm calling you out and say, listen, look for Jesus. Search for him with all of your heart. You'll find him. He's there. He's been waiting for you. But just reach out to him, though he's not far from you, and you will find him. When you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And you got to be ready because you got to step outside of what you're depending on so you can depend fully upon God. I'm not talking about taking just, you know, ignorant risk. I'm talking about walking in faith to believe God, not only for yourself, but begin to believe God for others. It's a day. It's a day. It's going to take pioneers. It's going to take missionaries to realize they're missionaries. Listen, this is, we're all called to go into the world and to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's going to require us to say, listen, if that's you in the storm, because when he got into the particular boat in another progression of their journey, they realized Jesus was even controlling the storm, because they say in another situation, they said, listen, when he said, peace be still, the storm stopped. And they said, who is this that the wind and the waves obey? No matter what religion tells you, the insurance company's got it right when they say this is an act of God. When they're talking about some instances that take place, some people say, that just can't be God, but you sure do take your check from your insurance company when they call it an act of God. Don't they? Somebody's like, yeah, sure I'll take that. That means I get a total replacement on my house, right?
That's
act of God. It's act of God.
New roof.
Yeah, new roof. New roof replacing blue roof. And so understand that some storms are fashioned by God. Ezekiel talks about it, Ezekiel 33. And we have to realize, hey, you know what? We can respond properly in the storm. We'll find Jesus in the storm. And he can all of a sudden, if we do this, he will speak to the storm and just say, peace.
Mm-hmm.
Be still. The disciples struggled with this before. They thought, Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. Don't you see the economy? Don't you see what's happening in my job? Don't you see what's happening in my marriage and my children and my parents and what's happening in my state and my city? Don't you see what's happening with our Constitution? Don't you see what's happening to the church? Don't you even care that we perish? And he looks at them and he says, oh my goodness, you of a little amount of the substance that pleases me the most, you of little faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're going to have faith. And he said, you have little faith. Listen, God's in the storm. He's in the storm. Don't let anybody tell you there is great deception that's coming in this age. And if you don't pay attention, if you don't keep your heart, your ear to God's heart and God's heart to your ear, you can be deceived in this. You can be deceived in this because so many people are using the right vocabulary. I mean, even Louis Farrakhan right now is just reported this last week. I mean, he's tapping into what's actually going to be taking place in our, but it's twisted and it's perverted and it's not right. But at least, my goodness, the world and the heathen know, you know, they know what's about to happen to the surface. Like the church is going, hey, you know, I'm just trusting in this resort. to be able to take care of me. And I just want to encourage you, prepare your heart. Listen, the most exciting days of your life is right ahead of you. The most exciting days, you know, bungee jumping ain't got nothing on stepping out and obeying God by faith. Stepping out on top of the circumstances where everybody else is sinking, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, and allow him to empower you to walk on those situations to be used in the midst of the storm. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three guys who were thrown in the furnace, when they were thrown in the furnace, what they were bound with left and they were free. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even catch on fire. Other people died getting close. They got kept them. Listen, step out and follow God. Not follow men, follow God. Hear a call of God on your life. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Understand that God, even though he has a plan to bring a storm against America, and it's happening as we speak, look at Nineveh. If you get involved in telling others, there's a chance they may respond and he may change his mind, and the things he meant for America, he will just stop it, because God's looking, he's a merciful God. He's looking for an opportunity to show forth his mercy.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
The VFN Torch takes VFN Radio to the next level. Listen, you can't show pictures and you can't play videos when you're listening to the radio, but we have it available for you. Take it to the next level, linking resources. As a matter of fact, when you hear about one particular article or segment that's going on VFN Radio, there might be four or five other segments that we did over that quarter or several months that you can tie together. Why? It's available for you. It's called the VFN Torch, just like the torch that Gideon carried, the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com and click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out, you know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up. Download it for free or go to VFNTV.com.
But a conversation, you'll be surprised. You have to keep your brain active. And personally, you know, and this is how my brain works, and maybe if you're a different kind of design of a brain, you have to have complete silence so you can hear yourself talk to yourself. I don't need to talk to myself. And you have to hear yourself think. Yeah, look at that. His eyes roll up in his head. He goes, that's true. That's actually, I needed to hear myself think. They're the ones that go, shh, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah, no noise.
All you do is snap your fingers and they're lost. Where am I? What happened? But to me, it just makes my brain just fire off everything. And I just love to hear good, you know, positive, you know, conversation. And there's nothing more positive than talking about the things of God and God's perspective behind the news and, you know, wisdom moments. Think about wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. You can go to college for, you know, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and you can be knowledgeably ignorant. And it's a shocker, you know. Doctor, see right here, this is how you start your car. You know, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because there's so much knowledge, it's like, but you gotta have wisdom on how to apply that knowledge. And we hope, you know, in the conversations that we're having, we're sharing with you the wisdom that God has revealed to us. How do you live your day-to-day life? That's wisdom. How do I apply, you know, the word of God to my life, the commandments of God and all that? And just, it's just, I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio, or
an I something or an N something and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world. You can hear VFN radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, you know, it's so important to really talk about what, you know, God is saying at this one moment. And, you know, the Lord's just really speaking to me about the light and the salt, which I've talked about in the first and the extra hour. But, you know, Pat, you know, talk to us, man.
Well, I was just reading the scriptures and songs on Song of Songs, and it reminded me of, remember that song, You Won't Relent by Misty Edwards? And, you know, just the anointing that's on that song, and it just melts your heart. You're singing it. Well, I just found the scripture and I just was like, oh, wow. Wow. This is that.
Yeah.
And it's in chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. It says, place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm. For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy as enduring as the grave. Love flashes like fire, the brightest kind of flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor rivers drown it. If man tried to buy love with all his wealth, his offer would be utterly scorned. And it just melted my heart. It's like, wow, God, you love me that much. I mean, is that possible? You know, and it just made me want to, you just try to compare it to anything earthly as if you could, you know, what that kind of love was like. And obviously, you know, Jesus, you know, he displayed it, right, you know, on the cross for us.
That's the one thing that the enemy constantly attacks. People say, I just don't feel loved. Yeah. It's because Satan has put an all-outright attack against you to keep you from the revelation of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
It's huge. Jealousy is more demanding than the grave.
Yeah. I can't even wrap my brain around this. I mean, I read it over and over and over again. It's like, God, I don't even understand this. It's just like beyond me.
Oh, yeah.
I just have to believe it by faith.
Right.
That you just love me this much.
Right.
Lord, help me love you this much as you love me.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm not there, but I'm like, God, I want it. And that's, you know, I've been praying this all week, really. Yeah. It's like, God, show me your love. Show me, give me a taste of it so I can actually understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Take the reins of my heart and direct it into the vast ocean of your love.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, I'm just, it just messed me up.
Demanding as a grave that, you know, when a believer dies in this life, the grave has no hold on him because of God's love. It demands your soul.
Yeah.
The love of God demands your soul. And to be absent from your body is to be present with God. Mm-hmm. And you think about it, you know, this jealousy is demanding as a grave is that no, I'm not going to let death have you, because Jesus defeated death, hell, and the grave, you know?
Yeah.
And so because of that, that the moment you pass from this life, the grave doesn't have a hold on you.
Mm-hmm.
One song said, way back when, it says, ain't no grave going to hold me down. Ain't no grave going to hold me down.
Mm-hmm.
Because of his love, we are raised to be with him.
That's right.
Wow.
Think about it. That's awesome, isn't it?
Very awesome.
The grave can. I think about, you know, I think about Pam. I think about Pam and her lovely walk, and she's gone to be with the Lord. But we talked about that together, and it's like God's love for her is so strong that it's more demanding than the grave. And so literally, the moment that she left this life, she was with God in heaven. You know, as we talk about 90 minutes in heaven and what it looks like, I mean, that's just beautiful because of the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's the love of God. It's not religious. It's because of the love of God. That's beautiful. Yeah. That's totally beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Wow. You just got to ponder that and think about it. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.